Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist to billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement: change lives. And as always, we have another phenomenal show. Last week, I came on solo. I did a talk on some doubt and pushing that button, taking that action, not letting your feelings, like when you're emotional, you're not rational. And today, I'm honored to have a guest. We've been connecting for a while. First of all, I appreciate you working with me on this. But today I have Evan Money. And that's right, Money really is his last name. That's one of the coolest last names ever. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Evan, before I let you say what's up, I could spend the next half hour reading his bio. He's done so many awesome things. Something that I got to see firsthand, which included Joel Osteen, Darren Hardy, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, and more, was Evan Money produced this awesome film, Words of Art, which starred all of them, which we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we get into the show. Evan's also the best-selling author of his recent book that came out, Money Talks, Negativity Walks. I love that. Which we were talking pre-show, it's been number one, baby, for the past month. So first Woo-hoo! And foremost, how are you doing, my good man?
I am doing tremendous, Mark, and thank you for a glorious introduction. And always, again, appreciate the mention of the books and the films. Just thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. I loved it. And we're going to hit into quite a few points today, everyone. As we get into things more, we're going to talk about actually some stuff about sex. That's right. So we'll leave that towards the end just because everyone's going to listen for that no matter what, right? Because who knows what we'll end up talking about. Some awesome things on the lie of work and balance. And but first of all, Evan, please, because I watched Words of Art. I loved it. I love your message behind it. But can you just share with our audience a little bit of the story behind this story? For instance, like, how did you connect with Joel Osteen to get him to be a part of that project and do an interview with you and stuff? I'm sure that wasn't an easy person to get a hold of.
No, great question, Mark. And just real quick, for those that are saying, hey, maybe I should check that out, the best news is if you are a Amazon Prime member, that film is included with your Prime membership. So Prime members, you get to watch it for free. So just go ahead and stick it on auto repeat on your Prime membership and enjoy it.
Nice.
You enjoy it as much as Mark and I have. But
I'll put the link to it in the show notes too.
Awesome. Appreciate that. So yeah, the Joel question comes up, you know, because he's kind of the big name. And oh my gosh, how'd you get Joel? And the reality is, the impetus for the film started when I'm born and raised here in Los Angeles. So filmmaking is kind of always part of your DNA, I think, if you're born and raised here. So my brother and I used to run around, and I'm dating myself, Mark. So you may be too young for this, but there was a thing called VHS, which you may have heard of.
I remember. I had cassette tapes and everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember even when you had to put the Scotch tape over the back of it so you could re-record a TV show.
Yeah.
I remember.
Okay, I like it. So we had a VHS camcorder, and we used to run around making shorts. That term didn't even exist back then. Doing these short films, and of course you have nothing to debut it anywhere. There's no internet. There's nowhere to showcase it. So it's just, you know, me and my brother and our friends watching these goofy VHS movies. But we learned a lot about filmmaking because we had no editing tools either. So you had to shoot in chronological order, and it was one take. That's the one thing that I learned that really helped me train. You know, a lot of people are just like, oh man, if I only had better equipment, or I had this, or I had that, you know, I could be so much farther ahead. It's like, have limits. Yeah, when you have limited resources, that's how you get better.
Sorry to interrupt you, but that's. I want to repeat that, because that is such a good point that we talk about all the time. And I want everyone to understand, regardless of what you're doing, because whether you're starting your business, your book, you're speaking, making a movie, in my experience, what Evan's saying is, because people come to me all the time of, well, now that you've made it, you know, you understand, I need to get a start-off loan or an investor. And I'm like, well, my office started in a barn. You know, like, you've got to get more, you have to get more creative and do what you can with what you have. And actually, that's where a lot of people's best work, like their origin films, come out from, because it causes you to have to be more creative with the resources that you have. But go ahead. I love that point.
No, I appreciate you chiming in on that. And we'll fast forward, you know, to technology, something people, you know, can relate with currently. So a lot of people don't know the story of Oculus Rift. That was made a couple years ago by a 15-year-old kid in his garage in Long Beach, California, you know, not too far away from where I live. And he wanted to do something virtual reality, but the technology wasn't there. So he's like, well, gee, how can I get creative, right? Cutting up different pieces, different parts. And he puts up a little Kickstarter campaign to say, hey, help me raise 20 grand so I can finish this VR thing I'm working on in my garage. Huh. And lo and behold, Facebook comes knocking on his door, and $2 billion later, he creates virtual reality because the technology wasn't there to make it work. So he got creative.
There's a
current story of how the creativity can really maximize what you're looking to do. So
that's right.
Just back to my story. So my brother and I, creative, fun, you know, VHS, doing these movies, one take, you know, got to get it, because we'd have to start all over if you mess this up. So that's how I got comfortable and enjoyed the camera. And, you know, then we kind of, those are like my 18, 19-year-old days, and, you know, ended up getting a real job, you know, and doing all that. But there was always that film side of me, but it was just so expensive. And so, lo and behold, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'm watching a documentary at my, you know, in my little home theater. And I'm just watching this documentary, and I'm just looking at it. And you may have had the same response, Mark. I'm like, and maybe it's for podcasters out there too. It's like, you know, how hard can that be? It can't be that hard to get a camera, interview a guy. I mean, this isn't, you know, CG and special effects and, you know, a feature film. It's a documentary. I mean, it's like, this can't be that hard.
You're right. You're right. People overcomplicate. I listen to a bunch of podcasts, and I'm like, I have a message I want to share to help people. The first show, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even have a microphone. I used like my Apple headphones. Now yeah. I have a studio years later. But the content got across to people, and I learned more and more. I still am a lot along the way. But you got to get started. But that's, you're right, when you go at it, and I've learned a lot. Things are harder than I thought they were going to be. But hey, had I known then, like what I know, if I knew everything before I started, I might have got stuck with thinking I had to have more than I have. So almost my lack of knowing made me to just get into it and be like, I can do this. Sure, why not?
True value of ignorance right there.
Yeah.
I think same with kids, Mark. If you told me kids were going to be like this, I've got two kids, I'm like, you know what? I may not have. I may have waited
now.
Another 20 years until I was ready, right?
No such thing as when you're ready.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you started. All right. So you're like, all right, I can do this thing. So you started doing a documentary.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, what do I want to do it on? What would I like to do? And my story is, you know, personal growth kind of pulled me out of the muck and the mire. And it was really the Zig Ziglars and the Jim Rohns and the guys that they taught biblical principles, Mark, but they didn't preach. Because I wasn't into preaching. I'm like, I don't need that. But these guys were real. And I'm like, here's a guy talking about God in a way that I can relate to, and he's a mega millionaire, and he's funny. And it was just like, out deep, you know, those guys brought me out of so much dysfunction and massive sexual dysfunction, massive turmoil. And I was like, you know what? We've got in sports. I mean, I'm a big sports guy. So at the same time I watched that documentary, it was the time for that year's class for the where they inducted the Hall of Fame. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, you know, all these sports guys, they got all these tribute and memory, you know, come to the Hall of Fame, come to the NFL Hall of Fame. I'm like, you know, all these speakers that changed so many lives, you know, where's, you know, there's no statues, there's nothing.
That's a good point.
I'm like, we got to do something to honor these guys. And I knew Zig was getting up there in age, and I went to Jim Rohn's funeral, and so I was there for his passing. I'm like, we got to do something to honor these guys. So that was – and then God gave me this great idea in the shower. Don't you love the great ideas we get in the shower? And I got a quick story. But I got this, the title. He gave me the title, Words of Art. And so I have in my shower, I have a waterproof notepad, Mark. So when I get a great idea in the shower, I write it down.
You know what's funny? I do the same thing, except my iPhone has a waterproof case on it. And I type stuff into Evernote when I'm in the shower or wherever I am.
Yeah, because I tell everybody, regardless of where you live or real estate prices, I tell everybody they've got a $20 million shower in their house or apartment. Because how many $20 million ideas have you had that are still stuck in your shower?
That's right.
Yeah, you got to write them down. You got to type them in. You got to do something. So I still have the piece of paper with Words of Art written on it.
I love it.
So. Just even in your intro, I went, you know, the only thing separating from you and your dream is action. So I knew, hey, I just have to take action. So I've got a title. Who do I want to be in it? And I was like, well, man, I'd love to have Joel Osteen in it. You know, he's kind of the new, you know, the new guard of, hey, personal growth, the faith-based slant. And my first yes, I'll share this with you. My first yes was from Zig Ziglar himself.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah. So we called that camp. They said yes. I was just like, I mean, it took my bride about 2 days to get me off the roof. I was flying high.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And so to get to Joel, again, long way around the block here, I had no contact with Joel, no connection. So I literally, Mark, I literally called 1-800-JOEL. That's where I started. And I went to the gatekeepers, with a smile on my face and with the attitude of, this is what I help people understand all the time, the attitude of, it wasn't always about, oh, I want Joel to be in my film so I can be famous.
Sure.
There's part of that. Yeah, there's part of that. But the other thing was, I want Joel to be in my movie because I want to expose Joel to a new audience.
That's right. You believe he helped you. And you wanted to talk, and I agree, you know, Joel Osteen, I listen to tons of different speakers of everywhere, and he helped me at times in my company when I was going through a lot of mindset battles, and I would listen to his stuff about really thinking, changing the way you think and stuff, and some people are like, oh, he's just pop, blah, blah. I'm like, well, he helped me a lot. So
and this is what I love about Joel. You know exactly where he stands.
Exactly.
You know you're gonna get encouraged. So if you don't want to be encouraged, don't listen to him. You know,
that's right.
It's like you talk about authenticity. He's not pretending to be anything that he's not.
I love it.
Yeah, right up front, you know what you're gonna get. You're gonna get a smile and you're gonna get encouragement. And if you don't want that, you know, go to a grumpy preacher. I mean, that's fine. So Yeah, so it was a two-way street. It was like, I want to do something for Joel, and it's obviously going to help me. And so that was my attitude. And I honestly think that was the key. And the also other key was just God looking down and laughing, going, look at this dude calling 1-800-JOEL. All right, I'll help you out, kid. Here you go. You know, and connect. So when the team said yes, I was just like, wow. I mean, that was incredible.
And so that's cool.
Yeah, and I just have to say, they rolled out the red carpet for me. Again, so people always wonder, what's behind the scenes and what's going on? And they let us film anything we wanted to. They took us behind the curtain, on the side of the curtain. They showed us everything. There was like no hidden secrets, no off limits. They That's were just cool. so accommodating, and it was so real. And my one fear, Mark, so we can be really transparent, is I'd never met Joel. I've read his books, loved his books, never sure. really watched the whole sermons. And I was afraid, Mark, that Joel was going to be one of those fake guys that we all know about.
Yeah, where they're like, you look up to him so much, and then their character doesn't match at all what the...
Yeah.
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 I doubt he is, though. But yeah, go ahead, though.
Yeah, but I mean, even it doesn't matter if it's in a religious, you know, faith-based world or personal growth or sure. whatever. Yeah, athlete, whatever. We've all got our guys we put on the pedestal, right? And then you meet him and you're like, oh, bummer.
Yes.
I was afraid that may be the case. And I didn't want it to be the case because I really liked his message. I liked what he was about. But when I met him, oh, it all just melted away. I was like, I get it now. I get it. This That's is cool. Joel. This is who he is.
That's
you know,
right.
He can't stop smiling. He's just that dude. And it was so refreshing, Mark. It was so cool. And it was just, we hit it off and I was just like, okay, this dude is so legit. It was just so refreshing and so encouraging. So that was my Joel cool. story.
You know, that's such a great point too. It's a point on both ends of a lot of people listening and stuff. They're going after big, amazing dreams. So remember, it's we're all going to screw up. We're not talking about messing up, but be real and be you. And remember, people look up to you too. So take that time. Like I spent time with Les Brown and had lunch with yeah. him and another good friend. And oh my gosh, he asked me more about me than me about him. And it was just like so inspiring, and he's battling cancer and was just like still there, and it was just cool when you see that genuine side yep. of people, you know.
Yeah, Les is another one of those bigger, I think John Maxwell coined the phrase that they're bigger on the inside than they are on the outside.
That's right.
And it's the other way around. You get the stuff like the Tiger Woods, or you know, pick your favorite star that's fallen or whatever. It's all about being bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Yeah, Les is that way. I mean, we could go down the list of our favorite guys that are just, you know, they're real. And that's the magic.
Yes, yes, yes. I loved it because when I was watching that, I was just, the whole thing is great. I love the message. Everyone listening, you need to check it out. We'll have the link. But everyone on there is amazing. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how, and I figured it's fun. That's always the way it is. You just start because people think, oh, you got to know and perfectly network. And no, you just pick up the phone and start calling 1-800, whoever the heck it is that you're trying to reach yep. out to, and go from there. That's awesome. So now the movie, it's Words of Art, is out and stuff. So then what led you from there? Were you speaking much before that, or did that start leading you more towards speaking? And then now your recent book, Money Talks, Negativity Walks, was that kind of all part of the shower vision as part of all this, or did that come later on?
Yeah, great, great question. But let me, one last thing to Words of Art I have to share with the audience is.
Absolutely.
And again, because I know there's a lot of people listening that are, you know, got a big dream, but are like, yeah, but, you know, the classic story. Yeah, but. OK, so I have to share with the audience and be, again, ultra transparent. So when I'm calling people and I'm emailing people, I'm calling 1-800-JOEL. One of the questions that came up was, you know, what are the other movies that you've done? And I'm like, well, I got a VHS tape from 1989. I didn't have anything to show. All I had was a vision. And so I just gushed my vision out and it, you know, and people were like, okay, so you don't have to be this, oh, well, I have to have an Oscar before I can get to that person. You don't. You really don't.
Man, that's another great point you made, though. In addition to that, you gushed your vision out. So mm-hmm. it's not necessarily what have I done, but it's how much do you believe in what you're doing?
Yes.
And that's what people pay attention to, because I've had people that want to be on my show that on the other end, they've accomplished all these things. They've written 25 New York Times bestsellers. But when I said, what are you doing now that we're going to talk about? They were so stale and stagnant. And it didn't even, I'm like, this is like, with all due respect, people can listen to all your other interviews and you have nothing new to say and you're not even excited about it. It's like a robot. So,
yeah.
So it's when you can't expect other people to be enthusiastic about your vision if you're not, but if you are and you believe in it, then that's what's going to catch people on fire. And if you try to be fake and be like, oh, I've worked with, you know, and made up all these movies and someone that you weren't, then
yeah,
that's wasn't going to do the trick.
Yeah. But so what last lesson on this one, what I did have was I hired a director, and because I knew I wasn't the detail guy, I wasn't going to direct it. And I wanted to give him visions and ideas, but I wasn't in the minutia of, you know, the editing and all that. So I kind of had the vision and we talked back and forth, but I had like a 2-minute sizzle reel from a project that he did. So that was it. It was gushing my vision, a little sizzle reel from, again, someone I hired, someone on my team who's going to do his strengths or not my strengths. So that's the other lessons of saying, if you think you're going to be the, you know, God's gift to everything, you know, try again. You know, you got to have a good team with you. So
that's right.
You gush the vision and then you share, hey, and here's the people I have on board working with me, and doors start to open. And so that's the last thing I wanted to touch on that one. But to your next question, you know, it took me a while really to figure out, I'm still figuring out what I really want to do, because I've got the Richard
Branson. It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, I'm an ADD visionary, man. There's so much cool stuff out there. So people are like, come on, so tell me what you do. I mean, you speak, you write, you make movies, you do this, you have traditional businesses. I'm like, uh-huh. And they're like, what else do you do? I'm like, well, I do this and this. They're like, I can't keep track. I'm like, well, that's just me. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
There's other people that, you know, and again, I'm not down on them, but it's like, hey, I just want to do this one thing and this one thing only. And great, good for you. But for me, I'm all over the place.
Me too.
So it's saying, okay. Yeah, so how can I make all over the place work? How can we make that work? So for me, I love – it really niched it down to, okay, what brings me the most joy, what brings other people healing, and what brings God the glory? Mm. And for me, that's speaking and just emoting from stage and sharing from stage. And so I always – you know, anywhere I can speak, I'm all over it. I'm like, I love to speak, love to share. And what I realized, though, is – Mark, and you can definitely relate to this, especially with our kids, right? It's you say something 10 minutes later, people have already forgotten it.
So
I think God made it that way so there could actually be a speaking industry, because otherwise you'd only need to go to church once, right?
That's right.
Okay, got it. I'm good. Yep. Don't need to worry about that anymore. So knowing that people are going to forget your words, that's why I was like, okay, let's look at other mediums like a film, right? You know, when you see it, in a documentary, we're talking about words, you tend to remember the images. And same with books, right? I mean, we all have books that we've read that are like, man, that book really, you know, that led me to that, that really, you know, changed my life. So I realized, hey, I need to start putting things in print. I need to start putting things on film as well as speaking. But for me, the greatest joy is speaking by all means.
So after the movie's out, you produced it. I mean, I'll name them again: Joel Osteen, Darren Hardy, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, just to name a few from Words of Art, which you created, produced. And you realize, I mean, Words of Art is all about, you can tell you have a passion for speaking and the power of words, because that's what the foundation of it is, really stems from. And I like it because all those speakers have their own style. They don't all speak on the exact same thing, but they do help people, like at the core. They help people grow by being who they are. And so then you realize, all right, but I do want to do more with speaking. I want to do that. But then it led to your book, Money Talks, Negativity Walks. Now, I'm wondering if we should get there's a point in there I want to hit that I love, the lie of work balance. Oh, but yes. Also, you and I were talking about sex. That's right, everyone, sex. If you're as you're listening to this, we're going to hit that up now because it's not talked about enough. And you mentioned you're head over heels in love with your bride of over 20 years. You remarry in a different state or country every year. I love that. My wife listening to this now is going to say, why don't you do that for me? But but there's some point that you talk about. A lot of people don't talk about this in church and stuff enough. Is like some of the struggles that people go through with pornography and everything. And you mentioned to me off air that you would want people to say more of, I'm having this amazing sex life with my wife, and not talking about this stripper from Vegas or this fantasy from pornography and stuff. So whatever you're comfortable with sharing, what was it that you went through, I guess, and how did you get through it that made you passionate about talking about it and helping other people?
Wow. Great. Yeah. I appreciate you asking that, Mark. So I just want to preface everything. I know a lot of times people are listening in the car or they're running around or doing this. So I just, you know, we'll lay out the NC-17 here. So if you have small children around that are listening, this would be the time to let them go play in the other room. So we're going to get real down and dirty and graphic. So I just want to prepare the listener. So make sure you understand.
Realness helps.
Yeah. I want to make sure. So with that, we'll start at one end and work our way back. So the one thing I like to say is, you know, growing up, especially all through my whole life, I've only seen three scenarios as far as relationship goes, Mark. And maybe you've seen the same thing. I see people that are divorced and desperate, or I see people that are married and miserable, or I see people that are single and cynical. And I was like, there has to be happily ever after out there. I know it. I'm not the only guy that watched these Disney movies and gone, yeah, that's what I want. And so I knew there had to be happily married people out there. And I knew there had to be happily married people out there that were having great sex. And so I was like, okay, I know that's possible, but I couldn't find it. So I was like, all right, I'll create it myself. And so now that I've created it and we've lived it, and that's what I'm sharing with the listeners, the reason my bride and I get remarried every year in a different state or country is because I want another honeymoon. You know, why as a red-blooded American man or any country you're listening to, why you would only settle for one honeymoon is beyond me. I mean, that is a process I want to repeat multiple times. So I find, like we talked about, you know, guys, married guys never talk about the great sex they're having with their wife. So I'm the guy that stands up and says, man, my bride and I are having fantastic sex.
I love it.
And it's almost like I call it the baby pigeon analogy, Mark. So I ask all your listeners, if you've ever, Mark, I'll ask it directly to you. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon, Mark? Think about that. You know they exist, but have you ever seen one?
Not that I can remember, no.
Okay.
No.
So
if I said people, yes, would it totally screw up the whole
For most people, they, you know, pigeons are, you know, pretty much around the world. Most people have never seen a baby pigeon.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing any baby pigeons like in real life.
Yeah, but you know they exist. And so it's just like happily married people that are having great sex. It's like the baby pigeon club. So they are out there. So I'm letting you know, people, it is possible. It does exist. And yes, you can. But people want to go to, well, if you don't understand all my massive sexual dysfunction. And the great news is my sexual dysfunction is way worse than yours. And so I'll just hit the highlights. I won't get too graphically, but for me, it started, we'll go back to the VHS, it started with VHS pornography. I mean, nowadays with phones and all this, it's just the technology makes it so crazy. But back then it was sneaking around, putting in the VHS videos. But, you know, watching pornography at a younger, you know, that crucial age, that junior high age, and that led me to experimenting with animals, Mark. That led me down a very dark path. And we had, as I got older, we had experimentation and homosexuality and just the full gamut. And so sometimes people want to come up to me and ask me, you know, more details, like, well, you know, what about this? And what'd you do over here? And it's not how far down the road you go, Mark.
Yeah.
It's what road you choose.
Yeah.
So it's not about, oh, gee, how far did you get with this or that? It's, you know, did you have a foot in the water? Did you jump all the way in? It doesn't matter. It's just going down these dark roads. And so I had all of this sexual dysfunction to work on. And then capping that off is before my bride and I ever met or knew each other, I had a relationship where I actually killed my firstborn child. You know, obviously through an abortion. It was like, oh, this is inconvenient. Let's kill it.
So Evan, real quick. So you, the pornography and stuff was mm-hmm. part of getting into a lot of other things, but then you were physically, you weren't just watching pornography, you were getting involved in it physically and stuff too, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the doorway. I mean, anybody that goes, oh yeah, it's just porn. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, that's the first step, and you cannot not just take the first step. You always, again, it's not how far down the road you go, it's what road. But once you open that door, it becomes a very slippery slope. And it just led into some super dark areas and things, you know, to this day, I'm still working on recovering from that shame of doing that, of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And oh no, and no, no, no. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. So then that led into, okay, killing my first child, you know, oh, we got to, you know, take care of that. And then finally I'm able to meet my incredible bride, and we're able to have this incredible relationship and grow. But I wasn't able to tell her any of these things until the last, probably within the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it was this gradual, you know, this pain, and just finally I was like, man, I've got to, you know, for lack of a better term, exercise these demons, because if whatever you don't share, whatever you can't share, whatever you can't confront, it controls you. And I was able to kind of stuff it down for a long time and keep it locked away, right? But it would always rear its head somewhere in a different form.
Yeah.
Like for me, anger was a big thing. Like with kids, there's certain things that would set me off. So like traffic, you know, for me, traffic and that was a hot button. And I'm like, why am I getting so angry? You know, what's setting me off? And I finally realized it was like, oh, all the stuff I'm stuffing down, it has to come out somewhere. It's, you know, if you put a lid on something and you're trying to keep it down, it'll come out of the seams. I mean, stuff will come out somewhere. And I share the story, switching
that's
gears.
Right.
Here, Mark,
that's right. So like, and thank you for sharing. And I know we're not even done, but I'm just stop you because there's some good points that you make here throughout life. Because there's one thing you see people like, say you accept forgiveness or whatever, but also it's going to keep bubbling up in you. And what a lot of people do is, oh, God forgive me. But it's like they push it back down. But really what it's this continual letting go that people don't realize they need to do to let it come and pass through them. Almost like an analogy someone told me one time is like, if you're holding a helium balloon and it's like that thought or that memory comes, and rather than overanalyzing it and thinking about it, once you've worked on it and you've already done what you can do, then at this point, when it keeps resurfacing, just let it go. Like you let the balloon go and don't overthink it. And then each time I can just keep letting it go. Cause a lot of people suppress it down and then it comes out in other forms.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So two things on that. So number one is I recommend everybody the fastest way to cleanse, because everybody wants it, you know, faster, right? Today's technology world. The fastest way is to do a video on it, post it. Because then it's out there.
Accountability.
Oh, it is so healing. Or you can write your book, put it in your book. But when you speak out it on stage, I mean, it doesn't control you anymore. So it's like this whole shame of what if people find out? It's like, hey, man, I'm going to tell the whole world on this podcast. Now what? It's like there's no more shame. It's gone.
That's right. No, you can't say there's skeletons in the closet when you've look, I've thrown them out there. And you also told me too, so everyone understands, because people think, well, I want you hear these stories and I believe they happen, but it didn't happen to me. Like when I was in jail at age 17 and doing drugs, selling them, everything I went through, I believed in God. I had him, but it wasn't like, and then I never did anything again. For me, it was a gradual process, and it's a lifelong journey and transformation. And God talks about that, as Jesus really talks about when you accept him, it's a transformation of your mindset, which means what might take someone 6 months might take someone 10 years, or you don't know. But the thing is, if you're able to look back the year before and see that you're making progress, you know, one day, one step at a time, then it's okay. It wasn't just like, then God zapped me with lightning and I never had the temptation again.
No, but here's the thing we really figured out. I laid this on a group last night. We were kind of going back and forth, a real like in-depth men's group. But this one I think will really help your listeners, because people are like, well, when are you finally over it? You know, when do you know you're healed from it? You know, when are you through it? And the reality is, the simple truth is, the more you grow, the more you heal. And so most people aren't growing, and that's the biggest challenge. I think a lot of your listeners are growing. That's why that's why you made this podcast, Mark. You wanted to go beyond. You
know, that's right.
We want to look beyond. So the more you grow, the more you can heal. And it is a never-ending process. So if you want to heal more, start growing more. Every day for me, I've healed more. And it's just like, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. I mean, you know, 5 years ago when I was doing seminars and all this, but 5 years ago, if you said, hey, if you're going to be telling people this, this, and this from stage, I would have been like, yeah, right. You know, are you kidding? Lots of skeletons away. And now I look what I'm speaking about. I'm like, wow, I've sure grown. So I'm looking forward to the next 5 years of, wow, what, you know, how much more healing we're going to have on this and this and this. But from a thin slice, you know, if they, like I said, you were talking about earlier, people look at you, people look at me and they go, oh, look at this dude, or, you know, look at his website with him and his bride getting married every year, and oh, they're having all this great sex, and all they, you know, they've got it all together and everything's perfect. It's, you know, they have no clue of all the backstory, right? Of what really is going on. And so the simple truth is, we all have a backstory.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's no such thing.
Yeah, those are the ingredients for your masterpiece.
That's the truth.
Don't get rid of your ingredients. Just say, hey, let's mix it up and let's create something beautiful.
That's right. It's when people get the false perception that they're the only ones going through some type of struggle, mm-hmm. and that makes that something wrong with them, mm-hmm. is what makes people give up. Because in our marriage, we're going on 11 years. About 8 years ago, there was a time where we were even separated, and what helped us was, and it could have gone either way, and what helped us was when we started meeting with other couples that were even real high up in the church, including the head pastor there, that told me stuff about his marriage that I was like, dang, like, you went through that? Like, I was like, holy crap, that's kind of almost worse than what, but honestly, it made me feel, and he was like, but if you don't give up and you persevere, because everyone goes through their own, no marriage is the same either. And I'm not saying if someone's in an abusive, you know, there's a point where you have to have boundaries, of course. But ultimately, if he was to try to act perfect and they did their reputation, that would not have helped us. What helped us is when people were real and they opened up about what they've been through. And then it made me realize, well, crap, like, you think you're going to get into another marriage where the grass is greener on the other side, but you're going to have to face a whole new other level of problems. But what I realize is, since we went through that battle and persevered together, now our foundation's stronger than ever. Now, don't get me wrong, we just got in a stupid argument the night before last about something dumb. We're still human beings, but our foundation is totally different because we persevered through that. From people like you, Evan, that were real and courageous enough to share their stories.
Yeah, and you mentioned it just 2 seconds ago, the classic. I tell people this all the time. The grass is greener where you water it.
Yes.
And the blessing is all this all this crap that everyone has, because we all have our crap cup, right? That's your fertilizer. And so you want your grass to be greener? Hey, man, use the crap cup. We got plenty of it. You know, spread it around. Let's fertilize, man. That's what it's for. And it's so interesting because of, you know, back to having great sex with my bride, the more I started sharing some of these things, the more we started getting rid of all the skeletons, our intimacy level went through the roof. And here I was trying to hide this for 10, 15 years, going, well, she can't find out about that because, oh, no, you know, it'll make it worse. And it was like, if I knew the sex was going to be this great, I would have told her the first day we got married.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, really, you're saying it opened you up to a whole other level of intimacy, and that's sharing. And really, marriage is continuing to open up and sharing those vulnerabilities with each other connects you more, you know, because it makes you trust each other more and it opens up this whole other level. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Or as you put it even better, just the crap cup. You both drank from the crap cup.
Yep. And we talked about this last night with our guys group. It's so funny. One of the guys was sharing it, the classic, right? There's so many, you know, online programs or all this different stuff and all these charlatans wanting to say, oh, yeah, well, you can clean your crap cup with this magic ingredient, or just buy my dishwasher, or use more soap, or do this or do this. And it's like, no, that it never goes away.
Yeah, it's a lifelong journey. Yeah, you don't wake up and you're perfect. And, you know, I heard another man I love is Bishop T.D. Jakes. I heard him say people talk about like their struggles with sexuality and all that. And he's like, don't think that I don't have that just because I'm up here on the stage. And he said, and guess what? You pray you want it to go away, but you don't want that to go away. Because that's what makes me want to have sex with my wife. Like, mm-hmm. you still want to mm-hmm. have those urges. He's like, it's just redirecting them towards healthy things. On the other end of that, don't get me wrong. Because the moment, the point you're making, Evan, is great. The moment people think that I've overcome this and I don't need to stay guarded, then that's mm-hmm. that's when the enemy attacks or whatever people might believe it is. And so you could say whatever it is, whatever their thorn in the side is, just because someone's been sober for 20 years, they still need to know where to stay guarded in certain situations or what they need to leave from. You know, it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's all about growth. Again, and the more you grow, like I said, the more you heal and the more those, you know, whatever it is, and it's so funny, everybody gravitates so easy. Okay, porn, okay, addiction with, you know, substance abuse and alcohol, that's easy. But no one ever addresses the real stuff like money.
Yeah.
You don't talk about substance abuse? let me tell you a disease that's rampant with your listeners, Mark. You ready?
Dead.
This is an undiagnosed disease rampant with all your listeners. It's called, my buddy Angel told me about this one, it's called compare-itis.
Mm, that's right.
That pops up so often in so many different ways, and usually it's around the substance of money. And so everyone gets focused on all these other ones. It's like, well, what about the greatest substance abuse of money? I mean, it's like, come on. So, the more you grow, again, the more you change the narrative on all these things, and they serve you versus the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. I posted something the other day. I said, it's not just money, but ego is what's the root of all evil, because it's ego that makes you that comparititis or whatever you called it. But like you said, with growing and it's continuing to get yourself around other people that are growing. And something people ask me too, Evan, and going back to the beginning when they're like, well, but you don't get it, Mark and Evan, like you guys have books out and you speak and Evan knows Joel Osteen now and blah, blah, blah. Well, you don't have to personally know all these people to surround yourself. I started surrounding myself by listening to podcasts or reading books or biographies of people that aren't even alive. I didn't have to personally know them to get them in my life. As I started doing that more and more, which I never read my first book till I was 19, by the way, But then I started meeting other like-minded people that I would see them like reading something I had read. And then as you keep stepping more out of your comfort zone and taking like those steps of faith, then what I learn is you continue to meet more people along the way. But when you stay in your comfort zone waiting for your so-called guru to come or whatever, they won't come. Like you got to keep doing it on your own and become your own hero, and you find it along the way. But can I just want to and everyone's going to go ahead.
Yeah, let me chime in on the books thing. I got two quick things. So one is what I'd love to share with people is, why do you think some of the world's wealthiest men have written biographies and multiple biographies? You know, do you think Warren Buffett, who's giving 95% of his money away, do you really think he's after another book royalty, you know, when he's trying to give his money away? The reason these guys write these books is so you can read them and associate with them.
That's right.
And so you hit it dead on. That's the reason those books are out there. You know, so you can sit down with them by reading a book, and it's at your schedule. You know, you have Warren Buffett on demand. It's like, all right, Warren, me and you are getting into it. You know, for me, it was Richard Branson. I've got all of Richard Branson's books. So me and Richard sit down very often and we connect, you know, because I'm reading his books and I'm like, Richard doesn't need the money. Trust me. He's got billions, you know, plenty going on. So that's why they wrote the book, so we could read them. And then the last thing I'll leave you on books is a great lesson I learned from Jim Rohn was, you know, I think we'd all agree, Mark, that, and all your listeners would agree as well, that there are things in life that are on the higher shelf. And in order to get to the to reach up to the things on the higher shelf, you stand on the books that you've read.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah. So I shared that with my son.
That's right.
And the first thing Dad is, he goes, Danny, I want to read Atlas Shrugged because the thing's like 1,000 pages. He's like, I'll stand on that one.
That's awesome.
It's the biggest book. I was like, all right, in time, son, in time. So
that'd be a good accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm with you. So I just wanted to chime in on that on books real quick. So
You know, I can't stress it enough because reading, it changed my life. And the first book I read was Pet Sematary, which wasn't even a personal development book at all. But it gave me, and it was after jail and everything, but it opened up because I only was reading what I had to read for school and the bare minimum to get my book, but I never read a full book. And then that was the first time by choice, and I realized I love this. I love the art of it. I loved the, it would open up my, something else people don't talk about is imagination. It's like they took the imagination out of education.
Oh, yeah.
And people like us that are visionaries and stuff, like you can't measure that on a test score.
Yeah.
And that helped expand me to, I started loving it. Then it led me eventually to reading other things like Napoleon Hill. And I read personal development. I also read nonfiction and I'll read a combination of things. But it's changed my life. And then you need to take time to, of course, to apply what you've read. And what everyone needs to do is check your book out, Money Talks, Negativity Walks, Evan. But what would you say are, and we've been talking about so much, but some big takeaways, like the feedback you've been getting that people that have read your book so far, that's now been number one for a month straight. Some areas that they said, wow, like this really has helped me in so-and-so, or this changed my perspective in so-and-so. Like, what are some points that you see your book really helping people with?
Wow. Thank you for asking. So the tagline for the book is we talk about reading and all that. It's the perfect read for busy entrepreneurs because I've done 1- and 2-page chapters. Because in today's society, it's got to be quick. It's got to be bite-sized. So these are bite-sized nuggets of wisdom that people can apply instantly to their life. And they can unlock, you know, some of their biggest challenges. So you can read a page here and there. Boom, put it down, apply. Okay, pick it up again, a couple pages. Boom, oh, yeah. And so if you're looking for a fast, fun read that will lift your spirits and massively increase your health, relationships, and finances – this is the book for you. But my favorite feedback story, Mark, are you ready? Drum roll, please.
Oh, you nice, so, man. You got the sound effects for me. That's the producer coming.
There it is. There it is. So I've got a great friend of the family. She's also a number one best-selling author. Her story, you talk about, you know, the crap cup and all the stuff she went through and all the abuse. I mean, her story is one for the ages. It's called Life Beginning by Rachel Hamm. She's an incredible story. But her family, we really connected with her family. And her son, who is, I believe, 12 years old, they sent me this text. And, hey, Mr. Money, guess what I'm doing my book report on for school? And he holds up Money Talks, Negativity Walks. I was like, yes!
That's awesome.
And he ended up getting an A. So from the school system, he gets an A on the book report. That is enough impetus for people to go on Amazon right now and grab their copy. Because imagine what it can do for you.
That's awesome. That's right. That's the truth right there. And everyone that's been listening to this, I mean, we've gone over so many things. Evan and I are just having a conversation. Evan's real. So everything that's in his book, it's going to be real, genuine, authentic, not wishy-washy crap. He's sharing with you what he's learned and how to apply it in your life. It's wisdom. And people need to read that. You didn't just come up with some, like Utah and I talk, all the crap that's out there that's like, sign up for my course and make $1 million in 30 days from this MLM. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you can make $1 million, but it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take time, hard work, and perseverance over time. Like, it's not going to happen from a 30-day course, especially depending on what level you're at. It's possible to do all those things. I've done them through seasons of my life, but it doesn't help people when you overpromise and totally leave them with like these false theories that you've never lived out, which your book, Money Talks, Negativity Walks, I know is nothing of that sort. That's why I'm pumped up about it. So let's let everyone know, you know, before I do a couple wrap-ups here of, and we'll have it in the show notes, everyone listening. If you're on iTunes, just you click on it, it pops up. It's going to have the links to Words of Art, the incredible movie that Evan produced that was featuring Joel Osteen, Darren Hardy, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, and so much more. I watched it. It's awesome. And also Money Talks, Negativity Walks. What's the best way for people to find you and connect with you and get all this stuff, my man?
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Great. Well, the first thing, and again, you promised to put it in the notes, I think the listeners will really enjoy going to my bride and I site, which is Evan, E-V-A-N, lovessusan.com. So that's two S's back to back. Evanlovessusan.com. And there are all 23 of our weddings pictures on there and some fun videos. And, you know, you can see me with hair back in the day. Those are always fun. I get lots of jokes about that. And then my personal site, for those that maybe want to work with me individually, that's evanmoney.com. And then for the books and the movies, of course, you know, it's an Amazon world. So
that's
Amazon,
right.
Amazon Prime, you can grab the book. And then, of course, Prime members get to watch Words of Art for free. But I will encourage those speakers and those people that are looking to up their game speaking and communication wise. There's some really, really, it's, you know, I've had people, you know, call me back, go, dude, I've watched your movie 10 times. I'm still getting stuff out of it. I mean, this is like the best public speaking course I've ever seen. Just really listening to some of these masters and seeing how they deliver and seeing, I remember one of the guys I interviewed, I don't want to give it away, but, he talks about that I'm still processing. You know, he says a lot of times, what's most powerful is the space in between the words.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so often we're all about, oh, I got to get this information in. I got to get this. I got to get this. And a lot of times it's like that space just to let people breathe and absorb. And so, again, I remember we were talking off air. You've got some budding speakers and people that really want to hone in. And this is like the best course you can take because you've got it from all angles. And there's so much rich stuff in there. So, again, I was just, it was a blessing for me to make it and now to pass it on to people that, you know, really want to dive into that. So even if you're not a speaker, again, just the power of words alone, So I'll be quiet and let people go watch it.
No, it's great. I loved it. And I love the combination of all the people you had in it and the perspectives you put on it. So anyone that listens to this and appreciates greatness, which is like 100% of this audience, is going to like that movie. So, and it didn't get into, did Joel Osteen let people in the church or not when they had the hurricane, which was the dumbest fake news crap ever. But anyway, we don't even need to talk about that. That's why I don't watch the news.
There you go.
But everyone, this has been an honor. There's this whole show, just listen to it again, because it's filled with takeaways. A couple main huge points I really want you to listen to from this is, I loved what Evan said at the beginning of, when you're going after something, you don't have to have perfect conditions. You don't have to have all the funding. You don't have to have all the equipment. That's what makes you more innovative and creative. And you don't have to have all the connections. He connected with Joel Osteen to be in this documentary, which you hadn't made a documentary, and you didn't have all these Oscars, and you were passionate about your vision, though, and you shared that with him, and you just started by calling 1-800-JOEL-OSTEEN. So whatever that action is for you to call 1-800-JOEL-OSTEEN in your life, don't think you have to have the perfect conditions to start, or else you'll never start. The other one is the crap cup. I love it. The crap cup. The grass is not greener on the other side. As Evan was saying, it's greener where you water it, and
that's
you
right.
Fertilize it with the crap cup. And
there you
the
go.
Crap cup is stuff that we all go through in our life. We all face challenges. We all face adversity. It's a lifelong journey, but the crap cup is letting it out. And sharing it in whatever way you may need to be vulnerable, because vulnerability, you mention it as like a fertilizer. I mention it becomes like your superpower. And not only does that help hold you more accountable, but that helps you change the lives of others. So this has been an honor, everyone. Listen to me. Never settle, never give up, and keep elevating beyond.
Yeah.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.